much more as you see the day approaching. So deep darkness is in the earth. One of the solutions that I have for your steadiness is the church, the gathering. He says you're going to want to waver at times. He says as the day is approaching, Satan, he's like a lion, right? That's prowling, ready to devour anyone and anything that he can devour. And in that context, it actually calls you still to stay with those that are gathering. He calls us to stay serving one another in humility, because it's in that place that we have strength. Are you with me? 1 Peter 5:8, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to the elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. And it continues in that context to say, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Beloved, the day of the Lord is very close right now. How much more, he says in Revelation 12, that Satan is on the prowl. He's looking to devour everyone that he can, the increase of wickedness. He goes, grab a hold of a gathering. He says, get into fellowship. Beloved, this is more than a Sunday. A church is not defined by a Sunday. He's saying, get into fellowship. Did you know you have to war for fellowship? You do. In this age, the busyness, the amount of offense, Facebook, whatever it is, you have to war. Sunday morning, you don't engage in fellowship. God is looking for a church. It's not defined by a Sunday morning gathering. It's defined by people. He says, begin into relationship. Connect with them. Begin to serve one another in humility. He says, so that you're not plucked off by the evil one. That's sobering. In other words, we can't do it on our own. I hear this often about John the Baptist. Oh, John the Baptist, he was one voice in the wilderness. And if he's got grace to do it, how much more do we have grace to be this voice? Because the church is so broken. Beloved, the church is broken. It is. I wake up and I think, Lord, how can we represent the church body rightly? Because I do. I feel that it's broken, but it's effective. And it's what God has called forth. So instead of rallying against it, let's get in strength in it. Because the strength of the church depends on the strength of the city. I'd be like John the Baptist. Did you know even John the Baptist, the most powerful man, right, according to Jesus, that walked the earth, did it with disciples? He didn't do it alone. Did you know he actually had to leave the Pharisees' teachings, the religious teachings, the false teachings, and he went and found this group called the Qumranites. And he went and he studied with them. They searched the scripture together. They prayed together. They baptized together. That's what he did for years and years. They would have night watches asking the Lord for revelation together. We need one another. I know there's offense and all those things, but the strength, we cannot do it alone. Matthew 16. Let's come back to Matthew 16. He says, and on this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. He didn't just call us that we would be strong inside the four walls. Although that's pivotal. And that's needed. He said, but I want to give you an appetite to break down gates. I want you to begin to look at the city and know that it's the very church that those gates cannot stand against. No, gates really, they don't move. They keep things in and they keep things out. How many know that there's gates in our city that are keeping people bound to Satan? Bound to drugs, bound to pornography, bound to addictions, in slavery. So there's these like fortified walls. There's these gates of hell that he's put up, and they cannot get free. And those gates not only keep them out, but they keep them in, but they exist to keep us out. And as he's looking upon that city and upon that region, he goes, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to plant a church. And those gates, they can't stand up against a church. They're going to plow down those gates. The most effective thing in the earth for the last 2,000 years is sitting in this room right now. That can shift the very eternity, the lives of those in this city, is sitting in this room right now. It's God's answer. It's his solution. It's stronger than any revivalist. Sometimes I think, wow, if you just release a couple revivalists through the earth. It's stronger than in any government, any mission movement. All of those things are awesome, powerful. But the vehicle of change is right here. It's the church. It's what's effective. Amen. It says in Ephesians 1:22. You know what? Let's not go there. Because I want us here. What provoked this a little bit is the Lord's been speaking to me about how effective the church is. This church has existed for about 34 years. And no matter what pushes against it, it cannot be put out. And I just began to look at the story and the impact of just one church. There's millions of churches. I think we have 13 churches just in Manton. But Danielle, she played this slideshow on Wednesday night, and I was just watching as all of the families that were in that slideshow and all the different ministries and the things that we've been impacting. And these were just pictures off her and I, our phones. And so you're looking at just a few years of impact. But what I'm about to show you, multiply that by 34. You know, I mean, this church alone, 34 years, 2,000 years later after what Jesus just said. Are you with me? And so I want us to see this in that context for a moment.
Once was a captive heart, crying out like a fire alarm. Then grace rescued me. You never stopped till I was found. You never tire of calling out. This love is everything. After all you've done in me, I will be. Follow where you lead. As you say, set my people free. Go into the world. Every boy and girl deserves to know a life far beyond the fight and reach where there's no light or hope. So the captives know that my enemies can see that I will set my listen if I can't speak. I'll never move a mountain with arms so weak. With one word you can make them fall. You go before me now. Your faithfulness destroys the doubt. Your strength is fire to my soul. After all you've done in me, I will be your hands and feet. Say, set my people free. Go into the world. Every boy and girl deserves to know a life far beyond the fight and reach where there's no
can stand between the prisoner and the throne. When you say, set my people free. Set my people free. Set my people free. Go into the world.
It's amazing, isn't it? You think about, this is one church among millions of churches that's fulfilling this prophetic decree of what Jesus said. The persistent church that over the years, 34 years, it just continues to hit the gates of Hades in a city. It doesn't give up. It cannot be put out. Even though sometimes the people change and the things shift, but the church just remains steady, and it's always plowing against the gates of Hades. It's always strengthening the body. You think about how many the countries alone that's been impacted by this little church in Manton, where we've sent people to, that we've helped fund. I mean, the list could go on. We just hit a few of them. You think about all of the fire in the nights, the live nativities, the list is on and on and on, and it's constantly a group of people that are committed to furthering the gospel. Amen. He says in Ephesians, let's turn there for a moment. Ephesians 1. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all and all. So this room right here is the body of Christ that actually has all of his authority and power, and they manifest it into a city. That's what we're called. That's what we're doing this morning. We're equipping one another. We're strengthening one another to actually be Christ in the city, in a region, in the homes. We're his body. Now let's define church for a moment. And in church, we see it's a gathering. It's a corporate gathering where the people come together. And we could go through the verses of where he says, look at this is the church that gathers together, the gathering of the church. And it talks about this corporate gathering that happens. But then it's with a united vision. It's for one purpose, that we're gathering for Christ. The foundation is him. Now this seems to be obvious that for a church to be called a church and to be effective, the foundation, the rock, has to be Jesus. It has to be the word. Now I say that, it seems to be obvious, but we have to be careful because sometimes the church can transition from Jesus being the rock to our good ideas. Or what we want to hear, or what fulfills us, or what makes us happy. And the reality is that is not a foundation. That is not a church that will break down the gates. The only type of church that will break down the gates is when Jesus is the foundation. Amen. When we're united under that reality. And I'll talk about this later, but part of the vision, every church has the same vision. It's to love the Lord with all of their heart, right? And to make him known, to love our neighbors. It's to know God and make God known. But each church, and you see this in the letters, in Revelation 2 and 3, the letters of Asia, each church also has a unique assignment according to their region and according to who they have. And so here, I want us to, and again, I'll break this down later, but to understand, do you know the vision of your church? We're come to unite under a vision, a united vision, to make impact in a city. And I want to encourage you, do you know, maybe this is a little provoking, the vision of the church? Because this is what he says about a church. As we defined it, let's turn to Ephesians 2:19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of a household of God, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. Do you know, you do not attend a church. You are the church. The church is not defined by this building. It's why the church in Ukraine, when the building was completely devastated, the church continued. See, it is a gathering of people. We're not a church by ourselves. The word church describes the gathering of people united in a vision, with one vision, no matter where they're at. But he keeps using this language. He goes, no longer are you strangers, but you're actually citizens of something. And then he says, you are a member, not an attender. So, you know, there's a great difference between attending something and being a member of something. A member, you have ownership of it. You're accountable to. You serve that thing, that reality, that family. You play a part in it. Let me tell you what a church is not. It's not a group of attenders. The reason a church is so powerful is because it's a group of members. And what I want to provoke today, I've never preached a message like this. Because what I'm so nervous and cautious about is that the church gets a mindset of growing its own kingdom rather than the kingdom of God. I've said this before, 6-7 years I've been preaching on trying to break that reality down. We're not trying to grow a church. We're trying to impact a city. But the way to impact the city, the way to increase the kingdom, is actually have a strong church. And a church is not strong if it has attenders. It's strong if it has members. And God does not define it by visitors. He defines it by fellow members. He says it's actually his body. And each one has a critical role in knocking down the gates of Hades. Every single person in this place, he says, is a living stone being built together to habitate, to become a resting place for God's presence. You play a part in that. Maybe this is not your church. That's okay, but I want to encourage you, by the word of God, find a church that you agree with their vision and run with it, because God has ordained it and your strength is in it, and the impact of a city is dependent upon it. Are you with me? I know churches aren't perfect, but it's God's plan. So let's strengthen the church so we can make impact together. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians for a moment. I just want to provoke you. We'll go a little deeper in this at another time. But 1 Corinthians 12. What I'm provoking is this phrase. I want to ask you to ask yourselves, do I attend a church or I'm a member of one of the most powerful vehicles of change in the world? Because did you know that the forsaking of the assembly is not talking about a Sunday morning? It's forsaking the membership. It's forsaking the fellowship. He says, don't give up on that. Well, we can attend a church on Sunday morning all we want, but your security is not in that. He says this, 1 Corinthians 12. I'm going to paraphrase this for a little bit. He goes, for the body is one and has many members. But all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. He says, yeah, we see a body. He says, but each individual is a member making the one body. It's the body of Christ. He's the head. We're actually him in the earth. And you are a part of that. He says, skip down to verse 18. But now God has set the members, each one of them, and the body just as he pleased. If you will, if it's in your translation, says each one of them. No one's left out. Everybody's been called into the body. And he has placed you in that body for a purpose. Actually, the health of the body depends upon your membership to that body. He says, he continues, 22, no, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are actually necessary. Yeah, no matter how small your role is or how large your role is, it's necessary. Whatever the Lord has called you to do, no matter how weak you felt, you know, in it or disqualified or whatever that role is, it's absolutely necessary for the strength of this body and for the impact of this city. Verse 26, if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Are you with me? Let me just ask a couple questions. What if Emily didn't sing this morning? We would have been hurting. Think about the lives that have been shifted because she sings. She serves the body. What if our sound man didn't show up today? And just all these little, what if Jane didn't lead our children? What if Dad, for the last 34 years, hasn't worshipped and led worship? He's seeing the importance of the body and each person's role within the body. What if Mike, he wasn't obedient to testify about Jesus to that lady? As awkward as that would have been in the back stall. I want to paint this picture. God has given you a gift. So he's given each one a talent and a gift. I want to call you to use it because we're suffering if you're not. And so is our city, is suffering if you're not. But it's not about you showcasing something. It's actually, when we look at the language of the gathering, he says this in Galatians 5:13. We can just jot this down. He goes, for you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. We're actually called in this. It's not a podium to begin to showcase, you know, how holy we are, talented we are. But we come from the place of serving one another with a father's heart. I, I, I told you that I asked the Lord. I said, if you give me dreams, I'll respond to those dreams. This was in the context when I think I was like 2021, and the first time I cried out for that. And he gave me a series of dreams for about a week straight, and he began to show me that I was going to be a pastor. Lord, wait a second. I didn't want to be a pastor. And he just started calling me into the ministry. And so I was feeling the conviction of that. And so I went to have a conversation with Pastor. And I said, here's what the Lord. And he goes, yeah, no. He goes, I'm sensing that. So let's just take it slow. You want to know the first job that I had coming into the ministry? Shutting the lights off when everybody left. Painting the wall. I say that. I say that not to... To say when we come in, there's callings that we have, but the heart of a church is first to serve. That's what Pastor, I'm so thankful for having a spiritual father in that sense that would teach servanthood first, that we come and we come to serve. Well, I know most of us are not called into the nursery. I know most of us are not called into children's ministry. Or even to deal with the youth. But listen, half of the population of the earth is under 30. Where do you think you're going to serve? I'm being real. Right? This is the strength. I know Danielle, I learned this week. You know, she is called to raise up these little warriors for God. She's got this very apostolic forerunner calling. And she's raising up our children and in godly ways. You know what the bulk of her time is doing? I just found out. Dishes and feeding the little buggers. Like, they eat constantly. I guess I'm included in that too. And then you clean up. You feed them. You spank them. And then you clean up. Thinking, oh, man. But it's servanthood. And the whole time you're doing it unto the Father, knowing you're raising up this powerful army. And every little thing matters. Everything's important because we're going to take down the gates of hell. We're going to free the captive ones. Amen. I just want to end there. Let's stand. Each one has a role. I could list the things that need to be done in the church, or we could just look. Each one has a talent. Each one has a gift. I was very hesitant to be as bold as I am on this, because the last thing I want is it to become about growing a church. As I look at God's word, and I see revival happens through the church. The strength of the church, it matters. Each one of us has a role in this body. Every single person. Some it seems small because of your time or schedules or whatever it is. But it's actually very large. This week, all I want to leave with you is the question, am I an attender or am I a member? Our vision here is to ignite our hearts to passionately pursue God, to prepare generations for the triumphal return of Jesus Christ. That's our vision. I'm going to go over the vision in this series. I want us to unite under that. And honestly, here, I'm saying this from a pastoral position. But if that vision does not set into your heart, I honestly would ask you to find a church that you can submit under their vision. Because the strength is in that. It's people gathered together, united in a vision for the Lord. There's several churches where great vision statements, and they live these hearts out. And a vision statement is not just some words on a paper. It's what we do. It's what we're going after. We're moving forward. But beloved, if If this is your church, I want every single person to jump on board wholeheartedly. That may look like a small measure of thing. That's between you and the Lord. But let's go for this. When he said the gates of hell won't prevail against a church, this is what he has in mind. And as we begin to use our strengths for one another and use our strengths into the city, beloved, every soul could be saved. Father, I thank you for the church. I thank you for each one. God, we saw the slideshow and we could go through and we could see the impact that each one's gone. God, we're just throwing fuel upon this because you want to see every soul saved. You don't want to see one lost in the midst of this gathering, but you want them strengthened upon the rock. So God, I'm asking, Lord, not for condemnation and shame this morning. Each one is in a different season. But Father, I'm asking to ignite vision, an appetite to knock down the gates of hell. That we would not relent, God, that we would not stop, but we would go more powerful every day as we grow. God, and that you would speak to us, what is our role? What part of the body are we? And how do we live that out? In the name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, guys.